episode 101 of the TV Dudes, recorded September 29th, 2016. Introduction to Fall TV. We are at episode 101, which sounds like we're a university. We're TV Dudes University here.
We are TV Dudes University.
And we're going to educate you on the introduction to fall TV.
I'm gonna say something tonight that's gonna destroy my tenure.
Whoa! That's what tenure is, right? You can't destroy it.
Yeah, you can't destroy it.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, you're tenured, buddy.
Nice.
They have to buy you out of there.
Yes, I'm tenured. I'm going to do something really inappropriate and they'll have to keep me anyway.
We're not.
That would make a cool premise for a fall TV show, like a tenured professor who's just like trying to lose his job. Can't get fired.
This is a point where I do tell you that we are not actually a university, Randy.
Wait, what?
You're going to get fired.
We're all indicted. We got to go to Washington next week.
What about the accreditation that I filed? Do we not have that?
Oh, that and that lovely certificate you have on your wall?
I wrote it in Sharpie. That's a permanent marker.
That's legit, right?
Yeah, it's permanent.
That's the legal contract you make with Sharpie every time you use a permanent
exactly.
marker.
It's at least as legit as Trump University.
Yes, this is very true, actually. So we are at episode 101. Does this mean we're starting a new chapter here?
Yes. Turn the page.
Do we have 100 episode seasons?
Yes. You know, I'm always talking about how TV, the short seasons, like 13 episodes.
Yeah.
I've decided to go the exact opposite way, hypocrisy, and we should have the longest possible scene as anyone's had of any season ever.
We love syndication.
Yes.
And we don't get that unless we hit 100 episodes.
I don't know. If now that we're at 100, we could have an event. We could have like a new 52. If we wanted to.
Another reboot.
A reboot with a new number one.
A new number one.
This isn't the first time.
Or the second. Like a 101.
Listen, guys, as someone who owns a comic shop and has seen a lot of these reboots, I don't recommend it.
No?
No, I don't.
Our quality might dip, but long term,
it's a bad idea.
Oh, like people just decide, I'm not going to do any Superman anymore.
That's right. Then.
Well, but I mean, we always have 20 years from now where this is going to be rebooted as a, you know, a sitcom.
I'm going to be a black woman in that version.
Half of the stuff we're going to talk about tonight.
I have this in my mind.
Recasting.
Now, all right, folks, we are the TV Dudes. I'm Grant.
I'm Randy.
Oh, I'm Kyle.
Yeah. You have to join in.
You're officially a TV dude now, man.
Official? What?
Yeah, you're one of the rotating cast.
I gotta put you in the banner artwork. Then you'll feel legit.
Every time I come back, I'm always like, if they don't ask me back, no hard feelings. And then I get that call, and I'm like, call me back in.
Yes.
All right, time to turn that TV
That's
on.
Right.
No.
It's the only time I ever turn my television
I'm
on.
Eventually just going to pass this whole thing on to you. It's going to be your burden.
I'm like carrying around mixing boards and stuff, like worrying, I need one more input. What?
Gotcha. All right, guys, we are talking about fall TV, but before we get into all of that, I'm not going to bore you guys with the iTunes, the Patreon stuff. You guys hear that every single week, but I did want to do a check-in with Beach Cop Detectives.
Yeah, so we are 4 episodes in, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this week's episode was Fuster Cluck, which is one of the big episodes of the series. We did that with Ashley Moreno. It was a ton of fun.
It was a lot of fun, and I got to edit it. And I was laughing through the whole thing because she was hilarious.
Ashley's great. We love her. She is also a TV dude.
Yes, she is.
And she'll be on with us in a couple weeks, I believe. So,
but
coming up on Monday,
mm-hmm.
the big one, Donald Logue, like close to.
I always thought it was Donald.
It's Donald.
Donald Logue, like Donald Duck without the D, I guess.
But there's no D.
But it's Donald.
It's Donald.
Donald Logue.
Donald Logue and I spoke for close to an hour, maybe a little over.
I cut it down.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure it's not an hour-long episode. That'd be crazy.
It's closer to about 45 minutes.
Yeah. Big, long Donald Logue interview. Really proud of it. I think it turned out great, and that'll be going live on Monday.
It is amazing.
I was so happy with it.
I even wrote down for you some highlights. I sent you highlights.
I saw that.
There are some things that, like, I might market this according to some of these things, because that's pretty big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's very cool.
Yeah. Stay tuned for that.
Nice.
And moving on, we have listener questions. And, I'm impressed, actually, with these listener questions, because I sent up the posts just about a couple hours ago.
Yeah, with the, you guys came through, man.
Yeah, because I was running late on everything, and I was like, oh, shit. I didn't put up our question post.
It's probably because somebody has you editing like four extra episodes of TV Dudes kind of thing each week.
What do you mean probably?
Yeah,
it is absolutely because of this.
You probably shouldn't have volunteered to run that beach. I don't know why Beach Cops was your idea. I don't know why you decided to do it.
You know, it would have been probably fine and manageable if I was just editing the episodes.
Yeah.
But then I have to do the interviews and I'm trying to release them like two a week.
Yeah.
With this.
Yeah.
With Beerus.
Yep.
With babies. Oh, yeah. Yep. They're part of the list, I guess.
Yep.
I'd love to see, like, an episode 7, the flashback episode, where you get convinced to, like, sign on to Beach Cops. Like, this is where it all started.
Yeah, I'll do that. Dun, dun. Dun, dun, dun.
You know what, though? In fairness, Grant volunteered for this, because when I said I was going to do it, he's like, oh, if you do this, I'm going to edit the shit out of him. I'm going to we'll really make it nice and tight episodes. And I was like, oh, that sounds great.
Yeah, I just knew the quality you were going to deliver if I didn't edit the shit out of it.
That's fair. That's 100% fair.
The curse of having good ideas. You got to get stuff done.
All right, guys, let's move on to our listener questions. And the first one comes to us from Jonathan Haptemichael, who says, hi, dudes. Watching the first few episodes of Easy on Netflix gave me ideas. Oh, by the way, there's a new show on Netflix. Did we mention this last week? Easy, yeah. Go check it out. Joe Swansburg directed it.
Yep.
And okay, he says, watching the first few episodes of Easy on Netflix gave me ideas. Not those kind of ideas, Grant. I feel like more shows could take an episodic anthology approach with some tangential connections between episodes, like with the babysitter in episode 1, who is the main character in episode 2, etc. Imagine The Walking Dead focusing on different characters every couple of episodes, giving them more depth so we care when they die. What other shows do you guys think could work if they were set up a little bit more like Easy?
You know, it's an interesting question because, first of all, I watched Easy sort of out of order, so I didn't notice that.
Because you had just jumped to the threesome episode, didn't you?
Yes.
Oh, Randy.
I wasn't even going to keep watching, but then Bo told me there was that, our buddy Bo from One of Us said, hey, there's an episode with a threesome with Malin Ackerman and Kate Micucci. And I was like,
it's a television show, Randy, not porn.
No, it's porn.
Okay, it's kind of porn.
But anyway, wow. So I watched the episodes. I liked the sort of anthology nature. We'll talk about it later. But the interesting thing that Jonathan brings up is, I'm not a big procedural guy, like CSI, NCIS, Law and Order, all those kind of things. But if that were to be like each week was a procedural episode and there was some kind of link, like one of the witnesses, and then we follow their story the next week.
Kind of like The Following, or what was it, The Fall? What was that movie with Denzel Washington? Are you touching
the Oh,
like
The Fallen. The
story?
Fallen, yeah.
Yeah. Huh.
No, I just, if you did something like that, if you did a crime show, and you couldn't do it with like Law and Order, that's a format, but if you did a crime show where it was a done in one episode, but then you followed one of the people they interrogated, you followed them into the next week.
Ah.
Something like that, where it's like, it's not always crime. Like maybe it's detectives in the first episode.
Maybe you it's a crime show instead of a crime procedural.
Instead of a crime procedural show.
It's just like, a crime happens and one of the victims, we follow that victim, and then they do something to someone else and now they're the victim.
Right.
Or even it's just called victim.
I mean, I like it. This is what gets a man into the quarterfinals of a pitch competition, Grant.
Oh, you bringing that up? Yeah, I got to a quarterfinal of a television script pitch competition.
Nice.
What? I don't think it's going to go beyond that, but I thought that was pretty cool.
You know, I once heard another young man say something like that. You know who that man was? Marty Flitzelhoff.
Oh.
His show did not go either.
Oh. I was going to say, who's that? Yeah.
I was going to say J.J. Abrams, but I never talked to J.J. Abrams.
You didn't.
No. Anyway, I like this idea. I think it's a, you know how we've seen the anthology series format as a new thing, and we've seen they've started to do different sort of formats in TV. This is something I think would be an interesting format to explore further.
Yeah.
You know, I think the obvious answer is, a show like Real Rob could really benefit from, you know, like taking all the attention away from Rob one week and like focusing on literally anybody else.
Kyle, are you Real Rob?
I'm still trying to get through, guys. No lie. I've maybe gotten another 5 minutes down, but it's like eating, like haggis. You know, you take a bite, you plug your nose and
I feel like I really need to figure out who this Real Rob character is.
Grant, we learned last week. It's me.
It's my
alter ego. It's my Mr. Robot
like
alter ego.
You fall asleep and then Real Rob
and Real Rob
over.
Pops over. But I do think I think that Kyle has a good point, which is There's a lot of pressure on Rob Schneider to really carry that show.
That's true.
First on the call sheet for your old Rob has got to be tough.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got to roll out of bed at like 12:30 in the afternoon, probably, you know, drink a couple smoothies.
I feel like I'm punishing the creators of the show by taking it seriously. Like, you thought you could just, you know, show up and cash that check, but no, I'm watching this.
Yeah.
Okay, next question comes to us from Benjamin Hamill, who says, a few days ago, IGN streamed the first episode of Ash vs. the Evil Dead Season 2, and I got to see it. It was bloody fun, very entertaining, but I still think it has some pacing issues due to the half-hour format. It's a small complaint, because even in this half-hour format, the show is still one of the most purely entertaining shows I've seen in a long time. But I do wish it was longer, so it could flesh things out. My question: what hour-long show do you think would work better as a half-hour show? And, conversely, what half-hour show do you wish had more time to be an hour show?
My first answer is the half-hour show, and it's too late for it, but Larry Wilmore's Nightly Show, the format they chose did not work in half an hour.
Oh, yeah, we used to always talk about, like, there's not enough time here.
If they had given him 45 minutes to an hour to do that show,
I would still be annoyed by that dude with the backwards hat.
Well, is that one of the writers?
J.R. or J.J. or... J.K. Rowling.
What's really funny about that joke is that you're staring at a man wearing a backwards hat.
Yeah, I was like, am I not in on this joke?
Like, I didn't even notice. I'm so sorry.
I totally laughed if I knew I wasn't being made fun of.
Ha ha ha, what the fuck?
Yeah, I don't think it was his backwards hat that he really had a problem with.
I just believe it was. He always had a hat on.
That was how he distinguished this gentleman.
You know, I also think, take Larry Wilmore's show, you make it an hour long, you also make it Tuesday and Thursday nights.
Yes,
or
I agree.
Like Mondays and Wednesdays, like just do like a bi-weekly.
Why, because he's black, Kyle? Because he only gets half the days if he's a black guy? Is that what you're saying?
Well,
whoa, you look at somebody.
Yeah, seriously. Let me see if I can dig myself out of this hole. No, I feel like John Oliver is a great example of given more time to focus on stories. Yeah. You can approach them differently.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I was just giving you a hard time for no reason.
Yeah, no, thanks.
Yeah. I feel like I would take Game of Thrones and make it an hour and a half each episode.
Why not 4 hours?
Why not 4 hours? Why not?
You know what? Just how about
I can't think of a reason.
How about if Game of Thrones starts at 8 o'clock on Sunday and finishes at 7 o'clock the next Sunday? It's just on.
Yes.
Game of Thrones is always on. It's like Big Brother, but in Westeros.
Or like Truman Show. Yeah. Just,
yeah.
If I want to check in and see what they're up to.
What are these crows doing?
Hey, Theon, what are you? Oh, Theon, stop.
You do not. Yeah. Don't watch the Theon episodes. There's not.
It's
yeah.
So sad.
Do not turn on Game of Thrones between 7 a.m. and 12 p.m. on a Wednesday, because that's Theon's time.
Oh, yeah. No, thank you.
You know, I think I'm going to flip this question on its head. We were talking briefly before the show about a web series.
Yes.
That originally was set at 5 to 10 minutes, but now has been picked up. We're talking about High Maintenance on HBO.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Which Grant and I did not like.
You didn't like it a lot more than me.
Yeah.
I was a little bit confused by it.
I really didn't like it. And
that
then
makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
So do you guys want to save this for later?
No, you should talk about this, because this is a good point.
Yeah, so to answer the question, this is a show where I've never enjoyed something as much in this format. But yeah, the 5 to 10 minute format works great for these creators. And what they did with, I think, probably 20 plus episodes is they really created this world in these neighborhoods of Brooklyn, just with this like really great cast of characters. And then they did something ballsy, which is they got picked up on HBO, and for their first 30 minute long episode, they just jumped right into the story. Like, they didn't start over from day one. They started over with
So it just continues from the web series.
Yeah.
Because Kyle, before we started this, showed me the episode with the assholes, the guys who were in the second part of the show that I really did not like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's a hilarious 5 minute
short.
The
episode is Diane on
Their characters previously.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's,
which,
and
they have a great introduction. And I was telling him, you know, there was a joke that didn't pay off as great for you at the end.
Yeah.
And I was just on the floor laughing. Because, like, when you realize how awful these characters are.
What was the joke?
It was at the very end of the episode where he gets outed in his group.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like, that for me was, like, the culmination of, like, four or five other, like, little sub-jokes.
Oh.
So here's the thing I discovered that he showed me is that all these shorts are on HBO Go.
Yeah, there's that, too.
So I'm probably going to go back and watch the shorts and then give the show another chance, because the short that he showed me was funny, was it had a great pace. And it's like, yeah, to some extent, maybe there are shows that benefit from being 5 or 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the...
That is pretty fascinating.
Yeah, the Clone Wars cartoons that Tartakovsky did were all like 7-minute shorts, and they were great. So I'm all for sort of shortening things and then lengthening Game of Thrones to a, let's call it, what, a 240-hour-a-week episode?
Oh. Please.
Yeah.
You know what would... they could take Archer from 30 minutes to leave it at 30 minutes, but make it 2 15-minute shorts.
Oh, that'd be good.
And just make them even more ridiculous.
Like, yeah.
Always Sunny would be another episode that, or another show that could do that.
Yeah, Archer could endings. Definitely be shorter.
Yeah. I love the idea of...
Oh, are you not a big Archer fan?
No, I'd like it, but I always feel like it would work better if it was shorter.
Yeah, I think a 2 15-minute episode format, maybe that sort of crossed over a little bit, like something's going on in the first one that is in the background of the second one, uh-huh. or something like that, or vice versa. Like, that would definitely be a good change. Are there any, like, hour-longs that we think should be half an hour?
Because
I can't think of any, like, any dramas or any sort of dramedies. Like, I look at, say, Veep and Silicon Valley, both of which are half hour. I wouldn't want those to be longer. I think they're perfect where they are.
Yeah. Good call on that.
And I'm trying to think of any hour-longs that I love that I think would be, like, or that need adjustment.
I mean, I could see The Walking Dead as a 30-minute here and a 30-minute there.
Yeah.
Just did little character studies.
Sure.
But that's not a strong suit of theirs anyway, would they do that?
Man, I could totally see AMC doing, like, half of the episode though on Tuesday, and then you got to tune in on Thursday.
Oh my God.
That, making it 2 30-minute episodes.
Do you guys remember Ally McBeal's Ally? You remember this?
No.
Oh.
Ally McBeal, you remember the sort of, it was a comedy drama from...
I remember that. Yeah.
So they did an experiment where they did a half hour show called Ally, where they would break down that week's episode, they'd edit it down to a half hour version and run it like as a comedy.
Wow.
It was bizarre.
No thanks.
Yeah, it's weird.
Okay, next question comes to us from Zach McLernan, who says, it seems Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is trying for a new tone with Ghost Rider. Is there any hope, or is it destined for further mediocrity?
Run, Zach. Run as fast as you can, as if Ghost Rider himself were chasing you.
So you weren't impressed with Ghost Rider?
I watched the first 5 or 10 minutes, and it's not that I wasn't impressed with Ghost Rider. I thought their special effects, for S.H.I.E.L.D.-level special effects, were solid enough. It's just that then Daisy was out there being a vigilante, and I remembered I don't give a shit about anybody in the show. And I was like, if it had just been Ghost Rider, I might have watched it. But I'm like, you know what? I've grown to hate everyone, including Coulson, who I used to love.
It just, everything is so vanilla.
Yeah.
And like, I think back to the last season.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, what was good? What do I remember being really good about last season? And I draw a complete blank.
Yeah.
That's not good. There should be at least like 2 or 3 highlights of that season.
You remember how Lash was like a guy who killed Inhumans?
Lash. You know what? I do think about one episode where it was Hunter and Mockingbird.
Hunter and Mockingbird, yeah.
And they were kind of out in the field in Russia, and it was kind of going...
That was a good episode.
They have a Mockingbird on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. too?
Yes. Yeah. Adrian Palicki plays Mockingbird, who is one of my favorite Marvel characters.
Oh, yeah, I'm a big fan as well. But they have... Isn't Agent 13 Mockingbird in the cinematic universe?
No, Agent 13 is Sharon Carter. Mockingbird is Agent 21, I think.
Huh.
Different character.
I thought Mockingbird was Agent... Well, from the comics, I thought that was Agent 13.
Nope, she's different. But at any rate, that was a good episode, and it was setting up that spinoff, which I think if they'd done that, I would have liked. But they didn't do it.
Yeah.
They should give Coulson his own spinoff, where he wakes up in a hospital bed, just like the beginning of the Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.
He's like, I had the weirdest dream.
It was old dream. Michael Cassini says, the Sci-Fi Channel has been going through a quiet renaissance lately, with reliably entertaining shows like Dark Matter, Killjoys, The Magicians, Wynonna Earp, and Z Nation, a.k.a. The Fun Walking Dead. But I've noticed that Sci-Fi barely gets any attention from critics, including us TV dudes, apparently.
Fair enough.
Are we looking at yet more victims of peak TV? What would it take for you guys to pay attention to them?
I've tried some of Sci-Fi stuff, and I think the problem is peak TV is part of it. Like, I want to watch The Magicians, and I have my Apple TV has Sci-Fi now, and I could watch all episodes, but I don't have time to watch it. And you didn't mention The Expanse, which I thought The Expanse was a book series I really liked. And I've heard the series is really good, but they haven't popped up on Netflix. So there's two problems going on. One is they're not putting their stuff on streaming. When it's hard to access, that's why people aren't talking about it. If it was on Netflix, people would be talking more about these shows.
Sure.
And the other thing is, honestly, I like the sci-fi shows, but they are, like a lot of network TV for me, forgettable.
It feels like sci-fi, I mean, sci-fi had Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that was their, like, pinnacle. Yep. And then they kind of followed it up with, what, like, Warehouse 13?
Yeah.
And Haven.
Yeah.
And... Alphas. I kind of liked Alphas.
I did like Alphas, yeah.
But then, yeah, they disappeared for a while, and now they've been popping up. I admit, they've been popping up with some shows that are getting a bit more attention, but it feels to me like they're kind of hitting where USA was about 5 years ago. Like, I'm waiting for that next big Battlestar Galactica, that Mr. Robot.
They're Mr. Robot, yeah.
And they seem to have a certain style and a certain niche, but... it's still at a level that it's not going to excite me critically, I guess, if I were to call myself a critic.
None of them are bad. They're all solid. Like, I watched some of 12 Monkeys. I watched the first episode of Expanse. I watched the first episode of Magicians.
I can watch Psych or Monk or Suits.
They're all solidly produced, but... yeah, it can't cut through the time I need in peak TV times.
Well, and I think to answer the question directly, if sci-fi leveraged some of that older content they had, some of their Battlestar Galactica, I'm partial to Sliders myself. But you have a streaming platform where you can bring in not just critics but fans to watch that older content, and that's where you promote some of these newer shows.
Agreed.
Because I saw some of the promotion for the Winona Earp show, some of the print advertisements, and they did not have a big budget to do these advertisements.
Yeah.
And you can't compete when, you know, the big networks are just constantly putting that stuff in front of your face.
By the way, a show that the last question mentioned, it's kind of a shame that Ash vs. Evil Dead wasn't on sci-fi, because I feel like that's a match that would have made a lot of sense.
Actually, I'm a big Briscoe County Jr. fan.
Yeah.
I think Fox could have handled something like
Fox
that.
Fox could have done it too.
Like, I don't know. They would have never put it on Sunday nights, but like a fun show like that, I don't know. I think it has a place there.
Okay. And one last question. Can't get to all of them. My apologies. But this one comes to us from Fernando Rodriguez, who says, what is your favorite title for an episode of a TV show? For me, it would be Gallivants, a new season, AKA Suck It, Cancellation Bear. Which is pretty amazing.
That's pretty good.
I was thinking about this, and I of course have to go to It's Always Sunny.
Yeah,
they're my go-to.
Oh yeah.
And if I'm going to It's Always Sunny, I'd have to go to season 3. That's when I think they made the best of their cold open, and then their title being a punchline. And The first episode of the season was The Gang Finds a Dumpster Baby. That one's fantastic. This one is not PC, so I apologize for that. But episode 9 was Sweet D's Dating a Retarded Person.
Oh, man.
And yeah. I remember when that was used as a punchline.
Yep.
Oh, man. Just all of theirs.
Yeah.
But they're really contextual.
Yeah, you're right.
Like, just reading it out of context, I don't know if it has as much of the same weight.
But you're right. That is the go-to for best episode.
I figured you were going to have one just locked and loaded from Friends.
You would think.
Like, one where Randy forgot what his favorite Friends title was.
Yeah. Well, there is the one with the Christmas armadillo, which is a good title. It's not a great episode, but it's a good title.
You know, I think it's really creative how Mr. Robot does all their titles, like the torrented video downloads that you would get.
Yeah.
So it's a high concept.
It always starts at 0, so I'm always like, shit, what episode was I on? Was I on 6? Okay, then I have to go to the 5 one.
Thanks for making this a little more difficult for me.
You made me think a little bit, Mr. Robot.
right, so we got some news here.
Yes.
A lot of new shows in development. A lot of shows that are based on old TV shows.
That's the way of it, isn't
it? Or movies.
This is an interesting concept. Is anybody else doing this out there?
So I'm just going to go in random order here.
Okay.
What We Do in the Shadows, the New Zealand vampire film. You guys seen this show?
Seen this movie?
Oh, yeah.
I love that movie.
Big fan, yeah.
Yeah. They are doing a show. It is, it's going to be on New Zealand On Air, NZOA.
Cool.
They're going to air on New Zealand television screens next year. First of all, there's two shows.
I like the idea of knowing a New Zealand show, by the way.
Yeah,
this,
right?
This would translate really well, too, I think.
There's one called Paranormal Event Response Unit. That is by Jermaine Clement from Flight of the Conchords and Taika Waititi. I feel like I'm insulting him by saying the name that way.
Yeah,
yeah. He's the guy who's directing
Thor Ragnarok.
That's why we got that amazing... Thor and
Daryl.
With Thor and Daryl.
Yeah. So
I love that.
It's a 6-episode spinoff, and it's going to be from What We Do in the Shadows. But it's called Paranormal Event Response Unit. It features police officers Karen and Mike, who keep us safe from supernatural phenomena in their own police reality series. Oh my God, I can't wait till this comes to American TV.
Yeah.
It's going to be so good.
Although it sounds like that Ryan Reynolds movie, R.I.P.D. or whatever.
No, that's Men in Black. That's a Men in Black ripoff.
Yeah, but, you know, paranormal cops.
Yeah, but this is going to be funny.
Okay.
This reminds me of on the IT Crowd. Did you guys ever watch that?
Yeah.
They had the where they changed the 911 number and they have the sexy ambulance service. I imagine, you know, jokes like that.
Wait, sexy ambulance. So you're saying that my startup is already doomed?
What?
Ambulance service?
Oh, yeah, that's already a thing.
Damn, it's been done.
Yeah.
Damn it.
I mean, you're like about to die and then somebody gets there and it's like, did you wash your face today? Come on. Do something with your makeup.
But they're also doing one called Only in A-O-T-O. Okay, I'm just going to spell it. A-O-T-E-A-R-O-A. Get some goddamn consonants, New Zealand, which will screen on Maury television.
Can you try and pronounce it? I'd love to hear you do that.
Atorioa.
Okay, that's good.
What if the A is silent and it's really Otero?
Otero.
Only in Otero.
Otero.
It features short, sharp comedy skits from a distinctly Maori perspective.
Oh, good grief, Lord. Dude.
I can't pronounce any of this. At any rate, I would not be surprised to see either of these come to HBO or something at some point, because that was Jermaine Clement's home for Flight of the Conchords. So
they're making another spinoff movie as well with the werewolves.
Yeah.
Called Werewolves.
Werewolves.
Oh, yes.
Like that is
R.E.
Our wolves. Yes.
Oh, I didn't know. That is really cool.
It's a clever name.
I'm so looking forward to that. I'm less looking forward to the Italian Job TV show that's in the works at NBC.
You've been liking NBC shows.
I actually have. And actually, I could see a version of the Italian Job that works. It's going to be a spinoff from the sort of... there was a British film in 1969, and then there was a 2003 remake. I actually saw the remake. I like the remake.
Tour de Force. It's one of my favorite films.
Yes, it is.
I'm only half kidding.
Mark Wahlberg at his best, at his most Wahlberg-y.
The most Wahlberg-y.
At any rate, they're working on the show. I don't really know what it's going to be. If they do a whole season where it's like them putting together the heist and then like the season finale is the heist, I could definitely see it working.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I love a good heist show.
I mean, it's got to be a season-long planning and executing a heist thing, right?
Yeah, that's what I would like, is if the heist is like one season, and then the next season, if they do one, is another heist.
Here's what you don't do, NBC. You don't recast every character except for Seth Green. and just pretend like these are all the original guys.
Yes. No, what if Seth Green, the real Napster, is at the heart of it?
Yeah. It's a story revolving around him.
It's his story. It's his crew. That'd be the worst thing ever.
Oh, man.
Probably not worse, however, than the SWAT being developed at CBS.
But who's doing it?
Okay, yeah. It's Sean Ryan.
And?
Justin Lin.
Yeah.
I know.
Okay, SWAT, sure. Sounds terrible. You can't really get LL Cool J and...
Colin Farrell
out of your mind.
But also, it's CBS.
But Justin Lin and Sean Ryan working together on this, that sounds kind of awesome to me. And you owe Sean Ryan.
I do. I do owe Sean Ryan.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
For all the interviews and Terriers.
But here's the thing. Remember Sean Ryan was going to do that Beverly Hills Cop show?
Yeah.
And it didn't go?
That would have been cool.
I want that.
Yeah. I guess he's got his name to a point where, like, he's able to kind of run multiple shows.
Oh, absolutely.
Because he's now doing Timeless over on
Yeah, that I'm NBC, looking forward right? to.
ABC? Same here.
That's NBC. Yeah, I don't know. It's the CBS of it all. More than anything else.
Does CW have a show with a name like Timeless? Like, Time?
They've got a show, No Tomorrow.
No Tomorrow.
Which is not about time travel.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I was looking at the schedule. I was like, dang, these cannibals.
There is another time travel show coming, but it's a mid-season on another network. Yeah. I don't remember what it is. And there's Frequency, which is sort of a time travel show.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of that.
What else we got?
Okay. You may remember a few weeks back, and I can't remember if you were here for this, Kyle, when we talked about The Tick and Jean-Claude Van Johnson and I Love Dick.
No.
You missed that episode.
I think that was
less.
No, it was less. Okay. So
great man.
We talked about The Tick pilot, the Jean-Claude Van Johnson pilot, and I Love Dick. We all, I think, hated I Love Dick.
Mm-hmm.
We were uncertain about The Tick, although there was not a consensus there. I think we all kind of liked Jean-Claude Van Johnson.
Yeah, I liked the last two.
Fortunately, it doesn't matter what our opinions are because they're doing all three to series.
I was reading somewhere about how Jill Soloway is revolutionizing TV, not just with what she did with Transparent, which I'm like, okay, I can agree with that. But with I Love Dick, and she's just like at the forefront of where TV is going with that show. And I watched it, and I'm like, I don't see it with the I Love Dick show. Nope. Well, if that's where his TV's going, I'm hopping off the train.
Grant, the revolution will be televised. It will also be really boring.
That seems to be accurate.
But I'm glad to see the Jean-Claude Van Johnson was really funny.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to more of that. And The Tick, I want to give another shot because everybody else but me seemed to like it.
Yeah, and you're often wrong.
I'm very often wrong. Yeah. Like my whole sexy ambulance thing. I thought I was on to gold.
Maybe we can workshop it. We'll figure out something else that works.
Good. Finally, sad news for Grant. Adventure Time is ending in 2018.
Kyle, did you watch Adventure Time?
A little bit, here and there. I wasn't a diehard.
Oh, you weren't a diehard.
Mm-mm.
You put it on your best shows list at least one year.
It's so good.
I've never been disappointed.
I should watch it at some point.
Man, it's just so fun. I'm sad because they have so much unexplored part of their mythos in this world that they've built, and they have given glimpses of jumping way ahead in time of all these different offshoots. That I'm like, I hope that in the two seasons they have left, they're going to be able to kind of start addressing a lot of that.
Yeah, they're gonna give it an ending. I mean, it's season 9, man. That's 9 seasons of a cartoon. It says here 142 half hours of the series.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good.
I need more. Do you watch 15 minute episodes?
Do you watch the show with your daughter?
I used to, and it's a little bit too sugar rush for her.
Yeah.
So I just kind of don't watch that one with her. I just watch on my own.
Nice.
Okay, get out of here. Daddy's got to watch cartoons.
It's adult TV time.
Yeah.
It's actually adventure time.
So we got a lot of TV shows to run through, which means that we're not going to spend a whole lot of time talking about each one. But as we progress, we're going to talk about them a little bit more because we're going to start with the ones we did not like first. And then we're going to work our way through to the ones that we really liked.
What I have a feeling you're talking to me and not the listeners when you say that.
Well, first off, the one that we did not like the most, or at least that you guys didn't like.
Oh, there's a consensus.
Because I didn't bother. MacGyver.
No, I have to ask you, Kyle. Did you watch MacGyver back in the day? Have you watched the other one?
Oh yeah, I watched
I've
back.
Never
in the day.
Seen a minute of it.
Oh, for real?
So I had no
I
fondness.
Loved it.
I had no fondness for the concept anyway.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what the show is when you do it right.
Okay.
It's Sherlock.
Okay,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. And you even have a better franchise that stealing from there.
Sherlock. It's if Sherlock could make anything.
It's voiceover. This is how I'm doing it. This is how my paperclip gives this girl an orgasm. Or, you know, whatever it is he's trying to do.
Was that an episode?
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't see that episode?
No, I did not see that episode.
When MacGyver goes on the show easy.
It was great. So the thing here is, like, looking at, say, the success of Mythbusters or Burn Notice, which absolutely ripped off the MacGyver format.
Yeah.
There is absolutely a modern MacGyver to be done. This was the opposite of that.
Yeah, no.
Well, it was lazy and stupid. The music was awful.
They were going for American James Bond, they were trying to parody like an American James Bond.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
I think even in this episode, he's in a black tie for a bit.
Yeah,
with his big mullet. Like, what, that hairstyle has not come back.
So was
maybe
it
the
just
franchise
like,
has.
None of the action was good. None of the dialogue was good.
It was okay. Like, none was grossly offensive, but it was just like
what was it so bad about it?
I think it's that. You know how we all expected, we'll get to Lethal Weapon, but you know we expected Lethal Weapon to be, like, really, really awful?
Yeah.
This is kind of what I expected out of Lethal Weapon.
Mm.
It's just like, it's just there's no, I don't want to say there's no consequences. There's a chemical weapon that might blow up the U.S., but
no tooth.
Like, at no point did I ever care.
Trite with the story.
Yeah.
The jokes are just delivered very heavy-handed. I was talking about this actor who plays, his driver.
Yeah,
his
George Eads from CSI.
Yeah, and he just looks like he's having so much fun, and it's like nobody told him, like, you're probably not going to be doing this gig for a while.
You're on a sinking ship.
Yeah.
Well, it's on a show called Titanic.
It's
I'm
on
sorry.
CBS, so it may go for, 15 seasons.
Yeah. I guess the question right now is going to be, how strong is this franchise? Because you're not going to bring new people in who are excited about this new take on MacGyver.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, another one that looked terrible was Notorious, in which it's a lady who's a producer of a television show.
Piper Perabo,
and a guy that's a
high-powered lawyer.
High-powered lawyer.
And I feel like I know this guy from other places.
And underwear model. That's probably where you know him from.
Is that who he is?
Is it that both just kind of operate in these worlds and they're in cahoots, but secretly they're secret lovers?
No, that's what the trailer made it look like.
Yeah, that's what the trailer made it look like.
And yet, in the show, and correct me if you think I'm wrong on this, Kyle, but I didn't get the sense that they were like, this is very much a developing relationship. Like, this was not a stand, like, they had not worked all this out. It just kept happening, right?
Yeah, well,
they
maybe.
They kept hooking up.
Yeah, well, they didn't even hook up. There's like this flirtation between them.
Well, it's almost like they have a professional thing going on where it's better for them to seem at odds professionally so that they can give each other the upper hand, like an informant, on a detective show.
It's okay. By the other guy, by the way, is Daniel Sunjata, who was on Rescue Me, is where I know him from. He was one of the firefighters.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that now it's going to stop bugging me because I couldn't figure out where I knew that guy.
I was joking about that underwear model thing. Although, he is one of those actors, whenever I see him cast and stuff, I'm like, you're just a little too attractive to play anybody I've ever seen in reality.
But yeah. That guy's the same age as me, and that makes me feel really bad about myself.
But look at those eyes. I mean, come on. That guy's drinking unicorn blood or something.
At any rate, it's there's an accident. The attorney's client is in an accident where, like, this 15-year-old kid gets killed.
Yeah.
And it's like a hit and run. And they're basically, the first episode is all about them talking to him and investigating him. And I got the impression this was going to be like a procedural show. Like, oh, by the end of the episode, we'll have learned the secret. And they do. There's like twists and turns. There's another murder. This is very soapy, very Scandal-esque. But I'm looking at episode two and I'm like, oh, it continues on in sort of the same way. This is almost like a fictionalized OJ, People vs. OJ Simpson.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have quite the teeth that does, I think. But I actually, in knowing that it's going to follow this one case a little bit more, I'm a little more interested.
So do you know that for sure? Because I guess at the end of the episode, I wasn't sure which way they were going to take it. Well, they obviously opened it up to where, we could stick with this main character throughout the whole season.
I think at least the first two episodes. Now, I don't know if it's going to be a long time thing or if it's a, if it's a season long. If that's a season long thing, I could potentially be interested in this. I don't know that I'll stick with it. I'm not a Scandal watcher either.
Yeah.
But
well, I'll tell you where this show could succeed, and I don't know if it's quite there yet, is they're telling the same story, but from these different points of views, from this media organization, from the people it's actually happening to, and then from like what the public's getting. And that's a really neat device. You could have a lot of fun with that. they're not quite there yet. They've shown their bag of tricks, but they've yet to make anything cool.
And their execution, and you liked this better than me, I think.
A little bit, I think.
Is that I didn't hate it, but I thought it was very cartoonish in execution. Like, there's everything is larger than life. It's a kid getting killed by a hit and run. There's a murder. There's her boyfriend is sleeping with prostitutes, and he just got confirmed as a federal judge. Uh-huh. And it is like, it's like trying to operate at such a high level, but it's so like a high school student's version of it.
That is a really good point that you brought it up. Like every single one of those, like one of those by themselves.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, all those scenarios happened in that episode. And her is a lot.
And her boss, like the cougar, is
That's
sleeping
notorious.
With a,
is,
she's sleeping with a rap star. And I mean, every one of these characters is cartoonish and too larger than life. And I feel like they need to dial it back. I mean, Amy Teagarden's character, who's the lawyer, one of the lawyers at the firm. Is she a lawyer? She's one of the lawyers, right? Or is she at the news? No, she's a lawyer.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because the other new young hunky lawyer intern goes to try to seduce her to get some info on the case.
Oh, no. She does work for the news station. And he's an intern for the news network.
He's an intern for the law.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But his father is also the owner of the news network.
Oh, Jesus.
And he's got to work his way up.
Well, guys, this sounds truly terrible.
It's notorious.
That's not a show I would ever watch. But I would listen to Kyle just keep going, that's notorious.
You know what, though? It's better than most of what the fall season was last year from networks.
That's fair.
That I'm giving it an episode, too.
Well, our next show that we wanted to talk about is over on Netflix, and we've mentioned this a few times. Easy was just sort of like dropped out of the blue on a lot of
us. Yeah, surprise.
Has a big lineup of a bunch of stars, but it is an 8-episode, I think, season series. And each episode is kind of its own individual story, talking about relationships, sex, promiscuity, all that. And this is headed up by Joe Swanberg, the guy who created Mumblecore. A lot of these films are like small indie ones. You'd probably be familiar with, I think he did Baghead. Am I confusing him?
I know he did Mumblecore. Here's what I think. I know what Mumblecore is, but in the same way that people know what pornography is, like I know it when I see it, but I couldn't tell you what it is.
Well, I mean, him as well as who are the brothers? The one that's on one that's on Transparent.
I don't remember, and
Duplass
I should.
Duplass Brothers.
The Duplass Brothers.
I saw them at South by last year.
They're all kind of credited as doing this small indie, super low budget, just crank out films really quick.
Well, they talked about...
It's called Mumblecore.
They called Togetherness a Mumblecore show. And I loved Togetherness. And so I thought I'd love Easy. And I didn't hate it, but I watched the first episode, and I'm like, I don't know about this. And then I went back for the threesome, because you have to.
Yeah.
And then I jumped around and watched Marc Maron's episode, because you have to. And I watched 4 of the 8 episodes, in no particular order. And I thought, all of them are interesting stories, but they're also low stakes. Like, there's no real conflict in any of them.
Yeah, it sounds almost like the opposite of the problem you had with Notorious.
Yeah, it is. It is almost the opposite. It's like there's no conflict. It's just like, here's the thing that happened for half an hour, and it's all interesting. It's all well written. All the actors are good. It's well shot.
If you went over to your friend's house and one of these stories like unfolded throughout the course of an evening, you'd go home and you wouldn't tell that story. You'd just be like, I had kind of a weird night.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah.
I can't really tell you what happened. It was just kind of weird.
Well, I mean, the first episode, I watched that one.
Yeah.
And the story is about a man who's a stay-at-home dad.
Yep.
And an artist, while his wife does a lot more of the traditional roles of the business.
Did this show resonate for you in a way, Grant?
It did a little. I was like, are you guys talking about me? I don't have those same relationship issues otherwise.
Hey, I would not. That was never going to say.
But
well, he didn't even bring it up as his buddy who was like, yeah, right, you're having some problems?
Yeah.
Why don't I poke at this business a little bit?
So I thought that, from what, like, when I watched that, I thought it was pretty good.
It was interesting, but as I watched it, I was like, I wasn't sure what the end result was. It's like they're trying to rejuvenate their mental chemistry. It's not coming together.
Then I thought that she put on a whole performance for him in order to make him happy again with his situation with a relationship. So they could go back to whatever she was comfortable with.
Yeah, I didn't ever get the sense that it had been resolved. Like, she was really sort of pushing at things. And then it's like, I couldn't tell if she was happy or unhappy with the end result, and then it seemed like she was, and they're like, they seemed to keep...
She was happy that he was happy, but it wasn't necessarily she wanted to do.
Right.
I thought that they're very subtle with all this, but I thought that it was pretty well executed on that standpoint. Going back to the question I think we got from one of our listeners about, like, what if we could shorten something? I think of the episodes I saw, I only saw bits and pieces of the other ones, this could be 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, all of this could be condensed down and still kind of get it across the same.
It did remind me a little bit of High Maintenance, like, especially those web series ones.
Yeah.
It just felt a little slow, plotting a little bit. I'll say this.
The episode that is Orlando Bloom and Kate Micucci and Emil and Ackerman is probably the most realistic threesome you're ever going to see, because it's awkward and kind of funny, but it's also kind of sexy. And it's very, like, it's a married couple. They have a couple single friends who are both using Tinder, and they both got married long before Tinder existed. This resonates with me because Tinder did not exist when I was dating, and I have a fascination with it. I'm glad I didn't have to date with it because it sounds horrifying, but
it's scary how easy it works.
But it's fascinating. And so it's a married couple that becomes interested in, like, experimenting with Tinder and where that goes. And I'm like, It felt so real. I was like, I can totally see this. It's not where I am in my life. I'm way past these people as far as age. But it was an interesting thing where I could sort of plug into it.
Well, let's move on to our next show. This one is Lethal Weapon.
This was better than I thought it was going to be.
I'm not too old for this shit yet.
Lethal Weapon.
This was a solid pilot.
Most people have seen the show, the movies, the franchise. Mm-hmm. I don't think I really have to go into that.
Catchphrase Central.
The best movie by far was Lethal Weapon 6, made by the It's Always Sunny gang.
Fair enough.
But what'd you guys think?
I liked this a lot. I thought it opens a little weak with... Riggs is down there chasing, you know, drug runners in Texas, and he gets a text from his wife that she's having the baby, or call from his wife, and pulls out the sniper rifle, and his buddy's like, Riggs, there's three people in the world can make that shot, and you're not one of them. Like, oh God, what are we in for here? Because it was like the most on-the-nose dialogue, and I'm thinking, oh geez, this is going to be awful. And then, as Kyle pointed out, there's that turn with his wife.
Right there.
And the whole
punch
thing,
in the gut.
Yeah, the whole thing just turns on that.
And that was good. I thought, you know, they needed to just kind of get in, explain his backstory real quick, make him sympathetic, because he's also going to be a bit of a loose cannon asshole. Mm-hmm. And now we kind of know why.
That situation totally explains some of these character motivations later in the show, where if they hadn't done that, or if they hadn't done it as well, it would have felt like the beginning on-the-nose stuff, the whole episode.
Yeah. The other thing I think that really works is they tweaked a couple of things. First of all, the captain is Murtaugh's ex-partner, which gives him sort of a fondness for him that was never fully explained in the movies.
And it's Ted from the...
It's Ted from... And they've made Murtaugh a little younger, which I think our friend Kyle has a bit of a problem with.
Yeah. Made him also a little lighter skin. I don't like when they don't cast the same race. That was a joke.
And then their Riggs is actually, like, instead of being a sort of a California surfer dude, which is kind of what Riggs was in the movies. I mean, he's an Australian, but he was playing a California dude, basically.
Yeah.
He's a Texas boy. And that fits into the actor they've cast, who's from Rectify, who is amazing on Rectify.
He's really good here. Mm-hmm. And I was like, do I like him? Am I like, he's a little bit too Texan? I was like, no, I think I like his Texan. Good. And I kept going back and forth. And I'm like, I ultimately landed on, I really like this actor.
They changed a little bit of the dynamic a bit, where that his whole I can't commit suicide thing, it tying back into his wife. Where he can't kill himself because she'd be disappointed ashamed. In him, but he can definitely get himself killed in the line of duty. Mm-hmm. That fits. I mean, that's perfectly that fits perfectly in. And Murtaugh having sort of a heart condition, instead of being like he's getting too old for it, he actually literally just had a surgery and he's supposed to be taking it easy. And he's got this internal conflict in this arc about, does he want to be the action cop that he loved being, or does he want to go ahead and sit behind a desk? And Riggs sort of pushes him to discover that he does still want to be the guy out in the field. And I thought, that's a nice tweak on the formula.
There's some good stuff to this. I felt like they obviously just warp some of the plot just to get where they want.
Oh, sure.
To these over-the-top moments that in no way, shape, or form should ever have happened otherwise. It's,
yeah.
It's a bit absurd. It's a bit absurdist.
But that's one of those suspension of disbelief things you have with the action movies you like.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
those over-the-top situations.
That's where I had to go, oh, wait, this is just supposed to be a Lethal Weapon show. Mm-hmm. Right. They're just trying to be, of course, over-the-top. If I may,
the plots of Lethal Weapon 1 through 4. The first is an ex-Vietnam Special Forces group running heroin. Mm-hmm. The second one, South African diplomats running drugs, using their diplomatic immunity. The third one, corrupt cops running some kind of scam. And then the fourth one is, I think, it's Jet Li. But it's like
counterfeit money, I think.
Counterfeit money. They're all ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're all just there to set up action sequences, so it makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair.
Well, let me get to this. Yeah. Damon Wayans, well, first off, he's a little typecast for me. He's a very famous actor from a very famous family who's been in a lot of stuff, a lot of silly stuff. And, I mean, you brought out
Last Boy Scout.
That's
where I remember him from.
He's got some good ones, too. But for me, it kind of took me out of it. It made me wonder, are they selling the show based off the Lethal Weapon franchise? Are they selling it off of this big-name actor that they've cast in one of these lead roles? Mm. But here's where I think that he's not working for me. The way that Danny Glover played that character, so you had pointed out he's got this thing, he has his heart problem, and that's kind of his Achilles heel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That felt a little, I don't know if fake's the right word.
It was forced. I think it has that.
Yeah. A little forced. Like, he didn't seem like he was ever really hindered by it. In fact, like, the jokes where they kind of play up, this Briggs guy is really screwing up, my thing for me. Like, oh, my wife's got dinner cooking, or, she's got that outfit on I like. Like, yeah. here's... He just didn't seem like he was really selling, I'm an older guy who doesn't, get attention from my wife very often.
They had a bunch of tired cliche plot lines or threads that don't actually, like in the case of his heart monitor, nothing pays off.
No.
It's just kind of...
Maybe a couple people want Apple Watches after seeing this episode.
Yeah, it's tedious for us watchers just to have to deal with it. Otherwise, it's just like, product placement.
But I would love it. The thing is, with the Riggs character, once they kind of set up his character motivation, totally bought into him. They need to do something like that with Damon Wayans' character.
Yeah.
Like, if it's not, because obviously he can't do anything to the family. You got to have them there. That's a really important part of his character.
What's driving this guy when he's near death's door to keep doing it?
But how do you make a realistic near-death experience for this main character on the show, also on a Fox weeknight show?
You know what they could have done? Just similarly to how they had that origin for Riggs. With, like, here's his backstory. He was running on the board, like, working on the border, and his wife and kid die. Mm-hmm. They could have had the same thing for Murtaugh, where he's having his next kid born, and he's, like, some sort of, like, adrenaline junkie right up until then.
Yeah.
And then he has a heart attack right on his floor, like, while his kid's being born, and now he's kind of shaken by that, but he's still this person who wants to be that action guy, that guy who's...
We may see that in flashbacks. I mean, that doesn't seem crazy out of line of what we saw.
They could have juxtaposed the two.
They probably could have, yeah.
Let me throw one up on there.
Yeah.
He has a heart attack, but not during the birth. Maybe a situation where he's trying to save somebody, and then he's useless to save them because his body literally can't do it.
Yeah. See, that's pretty good, too. Yeah.
But I'll say this. It's a great car chase. The car chase on the Formula One track, that was a pretty good car chase. For TV,
so
that was a good car chase.
Yeah, it was a little absurd. But
as soon as they went on to that, I was like, what the fuck?
By the way, that pilot was directed by McGee.
What?
Yeah, of Charlie's Angels.
And the OC.
And the OC.
Okay, well, the next one is Speechless, which is a comedy over on ABC with Minnie Driver.
Yep.
And Cedric Yarbrough.
Yeah.
And I don't know anyone else in there.
No.
Who's the guy from Reno 911?
Yeah. So, Randy and I think, differ on this one.
Yeah, we do.
But obviously, we went with Randy's pick because we put it higher up on the list than I definitely would have put.
No, but you came in ready to hate this. You hated the trailer.
Oh, I came in ready to hate this, and I didn't hate it.
See? That's a glowing review.
I will not watch another episode because it was just kind of one of those, kind of episodes. I gave a little light chuckle and that was it.
I don't know. I watched this with my teenage daughter and she loves this show. And that part, that's probably partly in making a difference, but it's got a feel of like what I liked about, say, Malcolm in the Middle or one of those. It's like a dysfunctional family.
They felt ABC Family dysfunctional.
Oh, I don't know.
Like it's lighthearted dysfunctional.
It's closer to Modern Family than it is Malcolm in the Middle.
I was going
to
say I enjoyed this kind of on the same level I enjoy Modern Family, but I really do. And this may make me sound PC, but I kind of like seeing a handicapped character be the center of the show.
And the kid's great. Like he's really funny.
Oh, seriously, yeah.
He's got good comedic timing. I don't know.
Really? You didn't get that?
I did not find him particularly amusing.
I've seen two episodes, and I'll say I think the second episode where they get a little more, the dad and the daughter have a story where they're like, he's basically trying to establish with her that they're, when they move to a neighborhood, like don't take the trash out. Like, we're the bad neighbors. We don't clean up the lawn. We don't want to set our bar too high for our new neighbors. Like, and he's trying to explain the difference between being jerks and being idiots. He's like, we want to be idiots because people give us a pass, but if you're a jerk, everybody hates you. And that's their whole side. And that felt very Malcolm in the Middle to me. And I like the guy who's playing the dad, John Ross Bowie. I think he's doing a great job as the dad. I think that's really funny. And I love Minnie Driver. And I'm just glad to see her in something good again.
I thought she was fantastic.
Yeah, she was great.
I absolutely agree. But I felt like she was driving the show. Minnie Driver was driving the show, Randy.
I get
womp,
it.
Womp, womp, womp. That's funnier than anything in that show, by the way.
Anyway,
you think it was fun when I don't want to spoil anything.
I like this.
Spoil it.
It's on my regular rotation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I thought it was. I really like the whole idea that this woman's going to be your new voice. Yeah. And then he had to walk around with this woman they just kind of talking shit to the whole time.
But he kept making her say, "I don't think this guy had any of the conversation." Say, "Bibbidi bobbidi boo."
But yeah.
Really? I just felt like every time like she had to read that and then go, why did I say that? Then just don't say it. It just felt such a force of a joke for us, the audience, to have her be a conduit to say something against her will.
You know she's not in it after the first episode, though, right?
Yeah. But I know that writing was in there.
Okay.
I didn't like it.
All right.
I'm going to keep with it.
Okay. You guys enjoy that show. Now, let's move on to another show that you guys did talk about
loved.
That you loved Exorcist.
Yes.
That's a surprise to me.
Oh, man.
You're telling me.
This was so good.
No.
Well, and it's not. I was worried that they were going to try to do the thing where it was like an adaptation.
Mm-hmm.
And it is very much like it's spiritually similar. See what I did there? Spiritual. But it's definitely its own story.
Hey, that's not as funny as my joke about Minnie Driver.
I felt like my reactions were similar to both of your jokes. quit fighting over my attention, guys.
Grant's watching you. But yeah, I mean, it's got the younger and older priest, and it's got a family dealing with possession.
Great casting for those priests. I mean, both of those characters. I was like, you got both of these guys to do your show, man.
It's Alan Ruck, right?
It's Alan Ruck is actually one of the dads.
Oh.
And he's the dad in the family, and he's had like a stroke or something. And
which it was kind of, granted he's not doing anything, but I did for a second I was like, what if this is just where Ferris Bueller left off? Like he's still just like not moving around.
It's a sequel. I like it.
Yeah, yeah.
but there's two daughters, one of whom seems very sweet, and the other one is being kind of bitchy, and the mom is Gina Davis, who's amazing here, playing this sort of, she's dealing with her husband having had a stroke, and she's sort of dealing with it because she's got this sort of Catholic guilt, and her daughter thinks that she's basically acting out.
Mm-hmm.
And like, there's no possession, she's just acting out, but there's definitely something going on.
Yeah.
And when they do that creepy reveal, man, that was so good.
At the end of the episode?
Yes.
Yeah.
That was so good.
Man.
So this is going, it's not going to be them traveling to a whole bunch of places. It's going to be them dealing with
it. It's going to be the story of this family, I believe. Okay. At least for the first season.
Because they got Gina Davis.
Yeah, they got Gina Davis.
But, I can definitely see this episode where, an episode they're going to drive a couple hours up the coast to, go talk to these people or do this thing.
Well, how do you compare this to Outcast?
Well, that is the interesting thing about this, because Outcast came along, was really digging it. Preacher came along, didn't dig it as much, but you know, you've got this spiritual protagonist mm-hmm. in both these episodes. I was feeling when I heard this is coming out, I was like, oh, they're just, you know, it's trying to strike when the iron's hot.
Yeah, riding the wave.
Yeah, keeping up with the Joneses.
Riding that God train.
But I was really surprised. Like, this one, it probably felt the creepiest out of all three of them, especially to start. And that felt good, especially for it's on Fox Friday nights mm-hmm. is when this is airing. And I remember being a kid growing up with the X-Files.
Back to those X-Files
where
days.
I had some episodes that I got to get scared during those episodes. And that's, it felt good watching this, you know, late at night with all the lights out. Also, yeah, they do something with the story. They give you a reason to want to tune in next week.
And all the character arcs are good.
Yeah.
Like the Father Marcus, the older priest who lost someone in exorcism and seems sort of the broken down man. Mm-hmm. And then the younger priest who's like struggling with his faith. And
also has a lot of pressure on him. I kind of liked the addition of this story that he's a successful priest.
Yeah.
And that kind of carries with it its own type of baggage.
Yeah, that his family wanted him to grow up to be the first Mexican pope.
Yeah.
And they're sort of pushing him to like be successful.
Alfonso Herrera is the guy who plays him, by the way. And the older priest is Ben Daniels.
Alfonso Ribeiro?
Herrera.
Oh, Herrera.
Yeah.
Alfonso Herrera. Where do I know this guy from?
I know. I feel like I've heard that name a lot.
And yet I don't recognize any of his credits or anything. He's been on Drunk History. He was on Sense 8. He was Hernando in Sense 8, which is probably where I know him from. But he's really good. The guy who plays Father Marcus, who's like the sort of the older priest, is a little bitter and burned by everything he's been through. He's definitely a British actor.
Mm-hmm. He had that big run on House of Cards.
House of Cards, yeah.
He played the affair guy.
But this was really good.
Well, I definitely need to check this out.
Yeah.
Now, the next one was heralded as the biggest pilot, I guess, of the season. Everyone was raving about this. The most critically acclaimed pilot.
Yeah.
Pitch over on Fox.
Huh. What do you think, Grant? Would you call this the best pilot you've watched?
Pause real quick.
Yeah.
Before we talk about this.
Yeah. Are we going to spoil it?
Not spoiling anything.
Okay.
I'm going to get to my feelings last week whenever I saw the show was coming out. All right.
Yeah.
It's a movie, or it's a show about the first female pitcher.
Yeah.
All right. In the major leagues. And it's called Pitch.
Yep.
It rhymes a little bit.
Yeah.
Is that not a little inappropriate?
Yeah.
Like, I know some guy was like, oh, I got a great idea for a title. But it's like, it kind of defeats the purpose of what you're doing with the show.
But
when you're
like, what would you have called
it? She's a badass pitch.
You can't be called like fastball.
Pitches be crazy.
Because she doesn't have a fastball. That's part of the point. Can't mm-hmm. call it screwball because that sounds like a comedy.
Yeah.
Can't call it major league because that title's taken.
That's true.
A couple times, I think.
I don't know. Well,
can't call it Padres because then it sounds like another one like Preacher.
Well, I want to hear what you guys think.
Female
because
pitcher.
Well, even though I started off on kind of a sour note, I was pleasantly surprised.
Man, I think the hype is real. I think this was, I don't know about the series going forward. It's going to be my favorite show, but I do think this is the best pilot I've seen.
It's so well executed.
Yeah.
All the beats. The actress who plays, let me get her name here. Kylie Bunbury plays Jenny Baker,
mm-hmm.
and she is the first female ever to be brought into the MLB. And she goes all the way up through the minor leagues and finally is drafted onto the San Diego Padres. It's a big media event and it's like the first day of the media event. That's kind of where we're dropped in.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think she does a great job. Mark Paul Gosselaar.
He's fantastic in this.
Yeah.
I got halfway through the episode before I was like, Saved by the Bell.
Yeah, I was like, come on, do a timeout. Cause
he's
for us.
He's got the beard.
And Ali Larter.
Ali Larter's great as like the shark agent.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Oh, and the owner of the team is Bob Balaban, and Bob Balaban's great in everything he's ever in.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the one thing I think is interesting here is that it's definitely got MLB participation. Like, she's with the Padres. She's not with a made-up mm-hmm. team.
Yeah.
It looks like Fox Sports. Like, it looks like if someone came in.
Oh, yeah. They even had FS1 graphics. And
they have Joe Buck there.
Yeah.
Doing the sports announcing.
If someone came in here, they were probably like, what are you doing watching sports? Because that's what people would say to me. But I also think they just did a great job of that line between she's a ball player. She's a pitcher coming up from minor ball. As a new star, this is not someone who gets like a big fanfare and sold out stadium and all that kind of thing. But at the same time that she's like as low as you can get on the totem pole, She is also a bigger star than anyone else on the team because she's the first female player. Mm-hmm. And so...
And she's selling tickets.
And it's such an interesting dynamic to do. And I really like the way they did that dichotomy. Like, the manager's like, well, wait a minute. Whose team is this? Is it my team? And the owner's like, no, I paid for it. I still have the $6 billion receipt or whatever.
Yeah. I love that line.
Yeah,
that
was a great line. Good. But so there's a nice bit of push and pull there between that.
I found it. It's really slick.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
It looks great. The editing is really tight. Mm-hmm. They don't waste really any time in this.
No. It felt kind of like how sports events are edited.
Yeah.
You know, just the really quick cuts.
And this was... it was written or is directed by Paris Barclay. I think that guy's done a bunch of stuff for Sons of Anarchy. It could be incorrect.
But it's co-created by Dan Fogelman, who also did This Is Us, which was my other favorite pilot.
And we're going to talk about spoilers here real quick.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Spoilers. Uh-huh. And it's a big spoiler. You don't want to know this if you're going to watch Pitch.
Yeah. So if you haven't, jump ahead 2 minutes because we're going to wrap this up.
Yeah.
But yeah, just like the other show, This Is Us. A big twist at the end.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys see it coming?
I felt silly when it happened. It was one of those where, how did I not see it coming?
Yeah, me too. I was like, well,
no, because you fucking see him in the audience.
But he's
it's mm-hmm. curious that they're not really having him like front and center.
He never says a word.
Well, he comes into her hotel. He says, let's go. And he pitches with her.
But he only talks to her.
But then they're like, oh, gotcha. It was fake.
Yeah, man.
He should have been at her side with everything she was doing otherwise and said it was Allie Larder.
Well, and also, she didn't say a whole lot this first episode.
No, they really give her like an inner monologue.
Yeah, she had to, they had to rely a lot on the physical performance. But I mean, that helped with that that twist at the end, that payoff.
Man. Well, because, yeah, we all thought we were going in for a story of a gruff dad who she's got to win over. She's been trying to win over her whole life. And instead, it's her trying to make a dad proud who's gone. Mm-hmm. She's like living someone else's dream to some extent.
Yeah, it's sad, but I imagine we're gonna see him throughout the season pop up here and there.
Yeah,
it's gonna be like Dexter's dad or something.
I hope it's more of a Mr. Robot type dad, which I'm all caught. Well, not all caught up. But
she becomes him occasionally.
No, but the show has an unreliable narrator. Yeah. You know who's talking?
I don't know about that. Yeah, it's just it was a really well done show or pilot. I agree with you, Randy. I'm not sure how this is going to carry through the rest of the season and if I'm going to be as engaged and wanting to see the whole story of this or if I'm going to eventually kind of drop out.
I'm in for an episode two.
Yeah, I'll definitely check out episode two.
Yeah.
And moving on to our last show for you guys checking back in, you people afraid of our pitch spoiler there, Insecure on HBO. This is another one that I wasn't aware of until all of a sudden I just like saw it on my HBO.
Did you guys see the promo for it?
I did see the promo, and I was excited about it.
I'm watching another HBO show, and beginning the show pops up, and instead of a trailer for the show, it's the girl, the creator.
Yeah.
And she's like, hey, watch my show. You should just, you know, go watch my show. It's on your net. And just this little, you know, one-on-one with the camera. It was cute. So I had to go watch that.
It's Issa Rae. Mm-hmm. And she is basically, this is like Louis or Better Things or one of those.
Yeah.
It's just that, Issa Rae is an African-American woman. And so this is a different voice than we see on TV.
She's also a very, specific, like one of the things I like about the show, she's not defined as being an African-American. If anything, she is an African-American who tends to, without giving too much away from the show, appeal more to her white friends.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's just, you know, she's got a very unique sounding voice and kind of a temperament to herself. People are trusting with her.
Well, so this tells a story. It's got her character, and she's working in some department trying to do like youth outreach, and she's looked to
nonprofit.
A nonprofit, and she's looked to as basically the black voice in this business. Uh-huh. And she's a little uncomfortable with being kind of looked to for that. And then it tells her contrast with her friend Molly, who works in this like high powered law firm, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And like everything she does, she's just like so amazing and everyone loves her. And she's definitely, I don't usually do this, but I'm going to go with a Sex and the City reference. Molly is the Samantha to Issa Rae's, I guess,
Carrie,
the redhead one,
who's
the one
Miranda,
had the most
Miranda.
I didn't
Miranda
watch the show.
why do I know this?
But Yeah, like she definitely seems a little bit more saddled with a lot more of like the names of the episode or the series, Insecurity.
Yeah.
And it's really funny. It's like really the dynamic funny. Between them, there's a lot of heart and you are like immediately engaged by these characters. You're interested in what they're having to say, what their struggles are and what they're kind of feeding off of each other. I absolutely loved the relationship between the two ladies.
And it's got some interesting things to say about the single life. Like the way that she sort of breaks up with her boyfriend and she doesn't even fully break up with him. She's like, she sort of breaks up with him on the way out the door. And then she's like, yeah, I think we're broken up. I think he got it.
I mean, they're back together.
Yeah. You were there. No, it's very joyful. Like in all these interactions, hell, even in that one you just spoke about where she's breaking up with her boyfriend, you've got a grin on your face because you're watching this girl kind of trip over her words and figure stuff out on the fly.
When she's rehearsing in the mirror and she's like trying to do her rap flow.
Oh my God.
And
I was like dying.
So awkward and terrible. And that's such a perfect buildup because it builds up to her going up on stage and doing some improv, just free flowing,
freestyling.
And it was like, oh no, we've seen what she does in the mirror. And I love how it kind of twists the expectations a little because you're expecting her to just kind of bomb, but she's going to get out there and do it anyway.
Yeah.
And she's actually kind of good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she's good because she's playing all of her friend. It's just, I don't know. It was a perfect amount of time. It was really funny.
By the way,
this is one of the favorite ones I've seen so far.
In addition to Issa Rae, you know who else created this? Who? Larry Wilmore.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. I remember seeing his name in the
credits. Yeah.
He's a no stranger to, you know, successful TV shows, except for, unfortunately, his own.
So this actually doesn't premiere until October 9th. It's just on HBO Now right now.
Oh, okay. Well, go check it out.
Yeah, it's really good.
If you don't see that ad of her telling you to go check it out, go click on my show.
Then listen to our ad. Hey, go check it out.
Yeah, that's what you do. It's the TV dudes.
Well, I mean, man, we managed to get through a lot of shows here.
So quick thought on fall season, by the way, last couple have been really bad.
Yeah.
And this year I've got a bunch of new shows to watch. I'm going to fall off some of them. I know for sure they won't stay in my regular rotation.
You're a lot more optimistic than I am.
But I liked a lot of these shows.
You know, this is my first official fall season, you know, on the critic circuit.
Oh yeah.
And I filled out my bracket. Like it feels like another fantasy football league.
Yeah.
Like how's my story going to do this week? Is Notorious going to fall flat on its face? You know where I'm going to get those 32 points?
Well, we talked about MacGyver, Notorious, Easy, Lethal Weapon, Speechless, Exorcist, Pitch, and Insecure. And of those, I'm only confident that I'm going to watch Insecure, and I'm pretty confident I'm going to keep with Pitch for a bit. And you guys talk about, like, you're gonna Exorcist.
You're going to watch Exorcist.
Yeah.
But I'm not a big horror guy. Like,
I'm not a big horror guy either. You're going to like Exorcist.
Okay. I'll check out Exorcist.
Yeah.
But otherwise, I'm not watching the rest of them.
I'm watching Speechless and Lethal Weapon with my daughter, for sure. And then the stuff from last week, I'll probably stick with This Is Us for a while.
I mean, Kyle, are you really going to stick with Notorious?
I'm definitely going to give it to the second episode.
Really?
Well,
that's very generous.
If it's more of the same, I'm going to jump off. But I don't know. I think it could go in another direction where they kind of expand this world and, you know, turn it into a spider web. I never watched Scandal. Is this like all Scandal is?
It seems like what Scandal is like.
And we're slowly finding out that I'm a closeted Scandal fan.
You know what? Scandal's supposed to be great.
You should apparently watch Scandal instead of this. That's what I'm getting.
I will say also, like, from last week, The Good Place is definitely going to be a regular rotation for me.
The Good Place, yeah. Absolutely. But This Is Us?
What about, maybe, probably. I watched the second episode. I'm not sure I'm feeling it. But anyway, what about Designated Survivor? You're going to give that another episode?
I didn't even watch the first one.
Oh, okay.
Well, you saw the trailer, so are you going to watch the second episode? Because you've seen the first episode.
I mean, pretty much Insecure, The Good Place, and Pitch a little bit. But I don't know.
Next week, we got Timeless.
We watch a lot of TV. Well, I'm not gonna overload my schedule with stuff that I'm like, it's okay.
I gotta throw this out there. Okay. All right. Start from the web series. Try High Maintenance. Like, give it another shot from the first one. And even, like, the first episode of the web series, it's kind of just a basic story, but give it one or two. And they're short. I think the first one's, like, 3 minutes. They go up to five, and then eventually...
Just give it, like, 8 or 10 episodes. If you don't like it after that, just watch the rest anyway.
And if you want...
Because you're
there at that point.
Well, Diana's a really good one, and then the Hannibal Buress one is really good, too, which I can't think of the name of that. But it's pretty easy to find on the HBO Go app.
Oh.
And then now the show's here. So after you watch the web series, you'll be all ready for the show.
Well, guys, have we covered fall TV? Are we done?
We're done.
There's no more fall TV.
No more fall TV. That's it.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Man.
I was so afraid that next week.
Timeless is next week.
We're back to talking a bunch more fall TV.
Also, Westworld and Luke Cage.
Oh, fuck. Yeah.
Oh, and Rick and Morty's coming back.
Yes. When is that coming back?
How did you not know this?
When is that coming back?
It's like Sunday, dude.
Are you really?
October 3rd.
Do you want to do a Rick and Morty podcast? Like just dedicated
every
to
episode?
Like going into the full on backstory theories and shit?
Is this revenge? Are you trying to get me to edit your Rick and Morty podcast?
I want to record it and I want you to do all the artwork. I want you to do all the editing and posting. Oh, man. All right, guys, we're going to wrap it up there. Thank you, listeners, for everything that you guys do for us. And hey, if you guys want to help us out, iTunes and patreon.com/TV Dudes. Go hit it up. And until next week,
TV Dudes out.
Boom. The TV Dudes is an independently run podcast. It is exclusively listener supported. If you'd like to help us out, go to patreon.com/TV Dudes. You can like us on Facebook and on Twitter at TV Dudes and help us out on iTunes by giving us a 5-star rating and writing a review. To find out more about us, go to thetvdudes.com. I'm Grant Davis. Thanks for listening.